Meeting of Sylvania City Council's Employee and Community Relations Committee's Economic Development Subcommittee. Present are members of the committee, Mr. Lukey, Ms. Capellini, Ms. Hussman, Mr. Hanem. Mary Westfall is out of town on a personal matter, and she's excused. Also present are Kevin Aller and Bill Sanford of the staff, Mayor Stow, and Natalie Trousseau from the Blade. We have a, oh, and our law director, Leslie Branning. I'm sorry. Shit. Can we rewind the tape? No? I'm not, you want, no, no, no. And Councilmember Mark Frye, I apologize.
We're a demonstration of lack of perfection.
The muscle memory is not there. It's a matter of age, I think. I'm sorry. Anyway, we are here today largely on an informational basis. There are several projects that the committee's been tracking over this last year or so that require some updates. In addition to that, we are coming up on a 2015 budget that will be presented to council soon, and particularly on the matter of downtown and Main Street, I think I wanted to have some discussion about any potential projects downtown that might be requiring some consideration in that or future budgets. So we'll talk a little bit about downtown. That said, SOMO has been an issue for a number of years. There have been some quiet developments over the last couple of months, and I've asked Mr. Sanford if he could give us an update on the current status at SOMO, any potential for prospects, and a proposed marketing plan that we might be looking at. So, Bill, would you mind?
Thank you, Mark. You may hopefully you answer any questions. Just give you an update of where we are with SOMO. We continue to have interest. I've talked to numerous developers with different ideas and just get information about the site. There's one entity that's been real interested and has done probably the most legwork, but they have not, they're not in a position yet to make a full-fledged proposal, so I can't really identify who they are until they're ready to do that, but I think they're close to the, getting that in place. Second part of that is how do we, you know, continue to market and make the site aware. Again, we have had some interest, but there's probably potential for more people and developers or people linked to developers. And I have done some work with Creative Oxygen to develop some pieces that we could do to help with marketing the site. Mark has volunteered to help with providing copy that we would supply to some type of a piece that we would to promote, you know, the site, which we just kind of started that process to kind of see where that goes. So when that's ready, and then we could, you know, have a little bit more detail when we sit down and talk to potential developers. And I think that the after a time when there was really not any interest in projects anywhere, in the last year, that has really picked up. There's a lot of interest and there's a lot more inquiries. And again, I think looking at what's going to work at the site, who are going to be the end users, I think that's key in any developer that would look at it. We want to incorporate a public space, and that's what we've said all along. And I think it's always been important that I've heard from the city council was, you know, what's it going to look like? What's the attractiveness of the site, and we want it to become a destination in Northwest Ohio.
Yeah, my understanding, Bill, is that in some of the conversations, at least preliminary conversations that you've had, there's been some interest on the part of developers to potentially depart from one of the concepts that we've held for a while, which is that it would not be totally, it would not exclude residential. I think some of the developers have an interest in including a residential component. Is that true or not?
That's pretty consistent with anybody I've talked to. And then one, I think I have his, what he said, is that having a residential, and what you see in a lot of these developments is because you're creating a density. You're creating people that would be there to use the site. That's why I think you're seeing it in all these developments that they call a mixed use, that you include, again, it'd have to be a mix. To have a totally residential, no, that's not something we would want. And again, and to incorporate it, and again, the biggest concern with the site, it's not very big. You know, it's a 5-acre site, and the parking, and the timing of the users of when the parking would work. But yes, definitely, that's something any developer that has looked at it has included some type of residential.
Right. So I asked that question only because I think I don't want council to be surprised if we do ultimately get a proposal and it might include a residential component.
Right. Okay.
Without asking any thing really specific, where are most of your inquiries coming from? Are they coming locally or from Colorado?
Well, there's been some out of town, and there's but mostly local, some local connections, but maybe they come projects other parts of the state.
How do you think they're finding our spot? How do you think that
I think there's usually a local connection that is driven by it or knows about it, saw it and was aware of it and make a call and that's the
so word of mouth, probably.
Word of mouth, bankers, but we have a lot of banks now in the community that want to pick up on some of the lending and some of these type of projects, and we've had a couple of follow-up calls from that. And maybe the developer was from out of town, but there was a local connection.
Do you think it's ever going to make sense to put something specific on our website? So this is how much we want. This is what we have in mind, so it's not so vague to people. It's only a 5-acre spot. If somebody was going to look at our website and go, hey, maybe I could do that. That's
part of what I'm working on to develop with this, and I've got some good things already to look at from Creative Oxygen. It's more of an info page. It's attractive, but again, with getting more of the copy and with Mark's help, that would, I think, really add to how we want to describe it. I think specifically, we talked a little bit of this at staff as to what's the contribution and how all that works from the city standpoint really depends on the project. We have to look at, what's your proposal and how does this all work? It's not something that I think you can put a number on, but there's an understanding in all these projects that there's going to be a contribution or support for infrastructure or whatever. Another developer, and which I thought was a good phrase too, he stated, you want to have a developer that has skin in the game. You have a developer that, and we've gone and we've looked at some of these projects where the municipality's funding 80% or 100% of the project. Well, that doesn't bode well. You've got to have a developer. And what I'm starting to get feedback is that there's people willing to invest in projects like this.
Katie, sorry.
Again, I just say the size is the thing.
Right.
I think that if it's a 25, 30-acre site, it's a little different look. So it's a little, but again, it's still an attractive. The community is attractive. Our demographics, where it is, closeness to US 23, there's a lot of positives that we just need to sell.
Right. Just to be a little more specific about what Bill mentioned as far as kind of a marketing approach, probably after the beginning of the new year, I think what we're what he and I have had a conversation about is, first of all, kind of a sales piece, a lit piece that has, more than just, what we've been using now, which has been fairly ad hoc, to kind of get a sense that there's some heft to the project, some reality to the project. This has been a lot of, we've had a lot of consultants' reports, and the idea here would be we'd pull some of the pieces and parts from those, talk about the market study, which was very favorable to SOMO, and fold it into what would probably be a trifold sales piece. I think Bill has suggested, and it's a good idea, that ultimately that could also be morphed into an ad that we could use to advertise the project in various real estate publications. But I think the final piece would be to take the story out to, in a more proactive way, to what I'd call the development community. And that I don't mean developers, but, there's a group of folks who are, as Bill suggested, interested in a project like this from the standpoint of banking it, or being the title company for it, or being the construction company for it. And so there's a list that is a fairly obvious one of bankers and title company people and developers and real estate people who might be interested in having a one-on-one or four-on-one, whatever, briefing about the project. And I think by doing that over the course of the first quarter of the year, we might prime the pump a little bit in that word of mouth that you're talking about to get a few more inquiries. So that's kind of the specifics of what we might be expecting from Bill.
Just to add to another point on the agenda today is the River Trail, and the one there was a developer I was talking to, and he looked at what was there, and he thought this was something that was planned, and then he was really pleased, and he saw, oh, that's already there, and that bridge is there, and I said, oh, yeah, that's already at the site. So that's another, how it's worked out with River Trail, that's another selling point, I think, for the site.
Yep. Any other questions for Bill about that?
I had one question, Bill. If you were going to identify one or maybe two different things that you would consider ideal tenants of this site, what would that look like to you?
I think from the start, Mark, if we had one main end user that was an employer of, say, 50 jobs, something, we've had offers from the first day the sign went up, hey, what do you want for it? Well,
right.
Well, they want to buy it.
Sure.
You know, and it'd be a lot of, who knows what, wouldn't be very attractive, I don't think. So I think if we had that one end user that could really come in and have a headquarters or again, a lot of jobs, that would be nice. And then the rest of the pieces can add in around that. With that mixed use, maybe a little bit of retail, a couple of restaurants, and we'll talk a little more about how to enhance that component. And just have that again, and then with some residential part. And again, I have not talked to a developer that didn't use that mixed use term to include that. You know, it's exclusively, it could be one thing, but probably better for the whole community if we had that mixed use. Just a smaller scale of what I've seen in some of these other communities.
Mark, I just made a note to myself to sit with you at some point and do a little briefing on the history of SOMO, because we've been thinking about this and talking about it for a number of years. Of course, everything kind of went to a halt when we had our downturn
sure.
in 2008. But I think one of the primary criteria for a successful SOMO is one where the business mix complements our Main Street merchants as opposed to cannibalizes them.
Right.
So we're not looking at duplicating that, but creating another block or two that that visitors could walk to, which would include, you know, some restaurants along the River Trail. We want to create business for the Main Street merchants by having more folks driving to work to downtown Sylvania every day for lunch or for after work, that kind of thing. So I think our goal here has always been to make it complementary.
Right.
But, you know, still public. I mean, still private. I mean, still a private development.
Sure. It's
primarily
yeah.
what we're looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
And trying to find a partner who would be willing to, because at the end of the day, we're probably not going to own this. We probably won't own this property. At the end of the, but when we transfer it, we want to transfer it with some understanding of what's
yeah.
going
yeah.
to go.
Which is why I think as we look at potential development partners, we want to find somebody who shares our vision, right?
Right?
Who
right.
who can be able to be a partner with us. Anything else for Bill? We'll see you later. I think you have a couple other things, but
thank you.
Okay, thanks. The second piece on the agenda is an update on the River Trail. This was preempted a little bit because the Blade ran an incredibly comprehensive story about the River Trail this morning in the paper and online. But Kevin, you know, has been working with the flower folks to try to identify a route for us, and I thought it might be helpful for him to just kind of For those folks who didn't see the story today, or maybe what didn't get written and is between the lines, maybe Kevin, you could give us a little bit of the background.
Thanks, Mark. I thought about just bringing the newspaper story, just reading it in case you had. You know, what you read in the paper is pretty much where we stand with it. There have been several conversations going back and forth with Flower Hospital on the location of that trail. you know, at one point, we thought we were going to be able to be a little closer to the hospice center, but at the end of the day, they just weren't comfortable with that, and reverted back to what's being referred to as Route C now. That route follows the original route as you come off of Ruin Road, and then basically once you get to the pond area, a little bit before the pond, then you start heading out into that wetland area and come back out on the east side of the hospice center before we cross at the original location of the bridge that crosses the 10 Mile Creek. That route to date is, you know, estimated to be about $1.1, $1.2 million more than the original construction. But that, as I indicated from the paper, that's from a very, very high look. We're using some general maps as far as floodplain boundaries. We're using some general maps as far as distances that were within that floodplain and things of that nature. What this phase will do for us now is get that a little more detailed. We'll delineate where those floodplain boundaries are. We'll know exactly from survey information how far, how long of an elevated walkway we have to have. And we'll still be throwing estimated numbers at it, but they'll be based on construction numbers. But, you know, right now we're estimating about 850 feet of elevated walkway, I think. You know, that number very well could be 700 feet, which, you know, reduces that difference even more. Also, as part of that, this phase, we'll be taking a look at the materials of construction. For what we've been looking at so far is steel and concrete construction for that elevated walkway portion, just like is behind the hotel here on that first phase. There are some other options. You can use recycled material, you can use wood. You know, there are other options. And that will be looked at to see how that affects that pricing as well. So once we get that information, now we'll be able to, you know exactly what we're looking at. It won't be a final design and it won't be a final estimate, but it'll be a little more fine-tuned rather than just a general cost estimate. So that's what we'll be moving forward. The Flower Hospital did once again agree to pay 50% of this pre-final cost. And so that's what we're going through. I would anticipate having this wrapped up sometime mid-winter would be my guess as far as timing. We may have something before the end of the year, but I would say with the holidays and everything, schedules start to lose some days. So I would say probably looking at mid-winter, we should know where we stand with this. As an update, I did today was the TIP committee meeting. You'll all recall the $200,000 that was mentioned. We did request that project be moved into the 2017 fiscal year, which basically means between July of 16 and June of 17. With that funding comes a lot of requirements. ODOT money does not come without strings, and a lot of them. So I just was not comfortable with those strings being able to get through all of those hoops in the 2016 fiscal year. So we requested that extension into 2017. It was approved, and any other funding that we apply for will be based on that 2017 fiscal year. So we'll be able to get matched up our grant application cycles with the ODNR programs and things of that nature will line up a lot better in that 2017 year. So.
Kevin, with that in mind, could you sort of take us forward from the winter of 2015 and sort of not even a best case, but a realistic case about what might happen time-wise with this project if we are able to move forward?
Yeah, I would anticipate the pre-final design, again, being here by midwinter, In that timeframe, we will be going out for final design services. And that final design includes a lot of things. It's not just engineering design. It's easement appraisals, it's easement negotiations, and it's easement legal fees. All of those have to be done by certified, ODOT-certified consultants. We're not able to do that ourselves, so all of that has to be hired out. And we'll be starting that process on getting those companies established and getting them on board. We will, the final design services will include some ODOT right-of-way requirements and things of that nature that Smith Group JJR just isn't accustomed to doing because they don't do that much ODOT work. They have partnered with firms on some other projects, so they have some relationships that they can use to get that accomplished, but we'll be working through that process.
Some local partnerships?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then once that takes place, you know, I would say the design services is probably something that would, you know, a six-month process probably. We have Army Corps issues that are going to come into play and things of that nature. If it weren't for being in the floodplains and the floodway, it probably wouldn't be quite as long. But that's probably going to be about a six-month process to get that worked out.
So that takes us into the fall of 15?
Fall of 15. At that point is when you start the, we'll have word by that point on where, a preliminary word, on where we're going to stand on the ODNR money. And if that's looking positive, then we'll make final application for that, then in the spring of 16. And that's when everything really starts to line up then. At that point, we will take the final design, move forward. If we know that we're going to get that ODNR money, we'll move forward with advertising and for construction in the spring, late spring of 2016, so that when we get the notice that the funding, the ODNR funding is available, we're moving. Because it's going to be probably a 12-month construction cycle, and we're going to need all of that 12 months. Because it's, you know, down in the wetland area, the boggy area, for those of you that walk through it, you know, your boots get stuck, much less a 10,000-pound excavator. So there'll be some special construction considerations that have to be done for that.
So can we anticipate, if all goes well, that we would be that would be open and ready in the summer of 2017?
Yes.
Spring of 2017?
If weather cooperates, a lot of that will depend on how much we can get done through the winter and how wet the spring is and things of that nature.
So. I have a question about how we're going to go under the highway. Is that, who does that construction that takes the trail under? Is that?
Our contractor would.
Whoever we hire?
Correct.
But that would have to be approved by?
ODOT.
ODOT,
mm-hmm.
Our yes. Contractor, and the pathway under the highway, and, okay.
And that's already, it was before my time, but it's my understanding that those discussions have already taken place with ODOT, and, mm-hmm. and it's been pre-approved, if you will. We don't have final sign-off, but it's my understanding that those discussions have already taken place.
Do we need to talk some more and make sure before we keep proceeding?
I think they're on board. They obviously know about the project because they've committed funding to it.
Right.
And it's, again, it's that whole ODOT process, you know, you and I can sit down and agree to something and it's done. That's not the way ODOT works.
Gotcha.
It takes 12 steps to get to that.
But, you know, the university trail goes right under 475 right now. And, you know, they've just rerouted that to adopt to the extension. So, I mean,
ODOT's very familiar with this process.
Yeah, I'm not anticipating, I don't have any concern.
And I think they're very bicycle friendly, they want to be.
Yes.
Kevin, remind me if this is right or not. I seem to remember that when we were looking at options, you know, options A through D, one of the options, which was more expensive yet than what we're looking at now, was if we had to re-engineer a bridge across Ten Mile Creek further to the west. And so talk a little bit about how, even though the $1 million-plus overage is, sounds like a big number, it's not as bad as it could have been. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair to say. Initially, the initial indication was, you know, Flower wanted this even further from the hospice center than what Route C is. And that was going to add probably another, I'm going off of memory here, but I think it's another, roughly about another $500,000, I think, to the project. $750,000 to the project. And
Dr. Canlow from Flower Hospital has been very helpful in helping us zero in on just where we can take the route and not be a disturbance to their hospice center.
Right, and that was going to be my point. I think that they have been extremely helpful and willing to listen and look at the science of this and the engineering of it to come up with a reasonable middle ground.
They actually proposed a drop D, which he came back and said, that's just too close. We can't do that one.
Right. But by the same token, the one that was extremely extreme in terms of going across the river was something that they didn't feel was necessary to. So I think we have a good compromise with our friends at Flower.
Yeah, because initially, when this Route C was proposed, they weren't real warm to that route. They felt it was too close, and that's why we looked at crossing the river further out into the floodplain. But that just had an exorbitant amount of elevated walkway and just added an equal amount of cost of the project. So yes, this is we've come to a good middle ground, if you will, on it. And while there's additional costs, it's not as bad as it could be.
Right, and it could be less if we engineer it right.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. You might want to stay there because I think the next one is sort of a tag team between you and Bill, right? We've the third item on the agenda is generically called Downtown and Main Street. Part of the reason for putting this on the agenda was because there are some developments there that we need to talk about. But in addition to that, it was instructive to me that four out of the five candidates who came to us to show interest in the open council seat mentioned Downtown Sylvania as a priority. So clearly it's on the public's mind. And I think, Bill, if you could maybe help us, first of all.
You bet.
Yeah, if you could maybe help us think about what the business climate is in Downtown Sylvania at this point. I'm not there every day, so I don't really have a chance to see what's open and what's closed, but kind of what the tone is in Downtown Sylvania right now.
Just that the right now, property is very hot. There's not many openings in downtown. Space is being rented out and leased out and converted, different changes. So it's been a real positive since I'd say in the last 5 years, this is the best it's been. And people are looking for opportunities in our downtown. So it's a good problem, which is why we've talked about the parking in the past too. We definitely need that and to keep looking at that because of the increased demand of space in our downtown.
Okay. That said, there's been, I guess, various discussions about some of the what I call streetscape issues, in particular the block of Main Street between Monroe Street and Erie. I've heard about are the sidewalks adequate? Is there anything that needs to be done there? There's obviously some conversation around the street trees. I think there's some of them that are not in particularly good shape. I have not heard about, but I'm reminded by our council discussion with the candidates about facade kinds of issues. Would both, one or both of you kind of give us an update on what the current thinking is around the staff table about that?
Sure, I can say a couple of things and hand it off to Kevin. Kevin will know more about the trees and the sidewalks and some of those things that we've looked at. The CIC has instituted a loan program. We did not get the Tier 2 grant program, but we put together this application process. We've already heard from four folks in downtown. They're going to make improvements to their buildings and their storefronts.
Bill, is that a loan or a grant?
This would be a short-term loan, so it's a loan. But it's very low interest, and it's just to help them get started in the turnaround project pretty quick. There's definitely interest in it, which I was glad to see. And then we work hand-in-hand with the Chamber, and the Chamber still has some opportunities with the grant program through Lowe's. They have some really reduced prices on some of the things for some of the businesses in downtown. And I'll just say, and again, Kevin knows more about the trees than any of us that have worked with the folks downtown. It's always split whether they love the trees or don't like the trees, and depends on the time of the year. We're coming on the time of the year that everybody likes the trees because the leaves are down, and the staff does a great job in putting the lights up, and it's beautiful. It looks great in the winter, but definitely something we've been talking about, the downtown trees, for a while. So maybe I can hand it off here to Kevin.
Sure.
Yeah, the downtown trees, it Bill's right. Either love them or you hate them. It truly is about a 50-50 mix, I think. What we're faced with right now is, last winter, obviously we used much more salt than we'd ever used in the past. And we're seeing it around town, and especially in our downtown area, where you don't have the other grass and median area to absorb some of that salt, if you will. The downtown trees took a pretty good hit from this past winter. And we have 8 to 10 trees today that we're pretty sure come next spring are going to be just dead. They're not going to come back. that's roughly about half the trees that are downtown right now. Of course, we're not lucky enough that it's every other tree that died. So, we're going to have some odd-looking downtown streetscape, if you will. While it's a bad thing, it's also maybe a good thing, because now, it pushes. There's been a lot of questions on what do we want the downtown to be. Do we want to pull trees out, put smaller trees in their place? Do we want to pull the trees out, put planter boxes of some sort? Do we pull the trees out and put hanging baskets? Do we pull them out and not put anything? so that, it's going to open up those discussions and perhaps push those discussions a little bit more to the front. What we're going to do come next spring is we're going to try a couple different removal practices when we pull those trees out, because the problem with it's not just a matter of doing away with the tree. If you cut a tree down and leave a stump at your home, you're able to come in with a stump grinder, grind everything down to below ground, and put some dirt over it, some seed, and you're good to go. You can't do that with a downtown tree because you've got, just about a 4x4 tree wall, so you can't get the saw in there to grind the stump out of there. So if you want to put a tree back, stump grinding is an option. You got to pull everything out. But when you pull everything out, you're bringing all of the roots and everything with it. Those roots probably aren't only within that 4x4 tree wall area. So you're likely to pull up some sidewalk and possibly some curb, possibly some waterline services that are now going through the roots of that tree, and things of that nature. So it's not just a matter of pulling it out, plopping another one back in, and you're in business.
Why can't you grind it? I didn't follow that.
Your saws won't. You've got a 4x4 tree wall, and your saws just won't. they won't go down into that area. They're bigger than that. Once you cut those out, you'll cut up the sidewalk and that kind of stuff around it.
Okay.
So.
They don't come in different sizes?
There are some smaller wheels, that's possible, but I think at the end of the day, we'd probably still be cutting up some of those sidewalks, and that, because you just can't get deep enough with them.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd be into the walks. So that's what we're faced with. Again, if we were lucky enough where it was every other tree that was dying, we'd probably get the density of the trees to a point that probably makes a little more sense. I think right now we're a little too dense with trees, whether you like them or hate them. They do tend to be a little overbearing when it comes to the foliage that's on them anytime outside of winter. We're going to see how those removal practices go. We're going to see what's successful, what isn't successful, because that has a big impact on what we do down the road. Do we want this to be a tree replacement project, or do we want this to be a downtown streetscape project? If we want it to be a tree project, we're looking at a few tens of thousands. If we want it to be a streetscape project, we're looking at a few hundreds of millions. You know, depending on what's wanted downtown. So those are some decisions that are going to have to be, I wouldn't say they have to be made, but what do we want the downtown to be? And what do we want it to look like? Removing the tree opens it up. It gives you a nice fresh view of all the buildings. We obviously won't hear the concerns of passersby not being able to see the business signs. But your wintertime appearance is not going to be what you have today. You're going to have a few poles with some lights and garland wrapped around it, and that's going to be your holiday. It's going to be your holiday decorations. There are other communities that have that. There's nothing wrong with it. Works fine if you do it right, which we will. It's still going to be attractive, and we'll still make it nice. But it's not going to be decorations wrapped around trees and things of that nature that we have now. So. Those are some of the things that we're working through. We're getting locations on, I got a tree count. What I have coming to me is exactly what trees will we be taking out, and what can we do in the short term to minimize the impact that those tree removals have, and then long term, what do we want to do from there. If we're going to do a large scale project where we're changing all of the trees down along Main Street, and we're doing some sort of planters, do we put, sprinkler lines, if you will, along all of Main Street? That way we're out of the individual manual watering that we have today. Do we need some more electric lines and sockets downtown for the events and things of that nature? So that gives us an opportunity to look at everything, not just the trees, but what else might we want to do there? Are there some areas that we want to do some cafe seating? You know, things of that nature. But it's with these trees coming out, it opens things up to take a look at what we want to do.
So let me make sure I get this right. We're going to lose half the trees on that stretch there of Main Street.
Yes.
Okay. So if you're going to start, when you take down trees and you damage the roadway, you're going to have to fix that. Right now, right? I mean, you're not going to be able to just. I hate the orange, the orange pylon that I drive by on my way to work every morning that just sits there for months. We're not going to do that. I mean, that's not how we do things. So, is the thought that you're going to take these trees down and then we're going to make this decision about what to do?
No, we're going to try a couple different methods that are out there on removing the tree, and we're going.
No, I mean in terms of whether we're going to do a streetscape project or a tree project. Are we going to? I mean, we're going to decide that before we start cutting down these trees, aren't we? I think the answer is yes. We're going to decide that before we start cutting those trees down. I mean, we got to.
Because everyone's going to be asking.
Well, come next spring, they have to come down, because if they're dead, we can't, I mean, we can't take a chance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you're right. We have to decide. My point is, once you go out there and start pulling trees, if you're pulling out roots, if you're grinding them up, if you're doing damage to the sidewalk and the curbs, we got to have a plan about how we're going to deal with that.
Yeah, no. What we're going to do is we're going to check on the first couple of trees that we pull out. We're going to see if some of the methods that are being recommended to us by some of the tree contractors, if we can get that out without much surrounding damage, then we'll proceed with that method. If not, then we're going to revert back to where we're taking the tops off, if you will, mm-hmm. and leaving things as they are, because we're not going to be tearing up. I'm not going to, in 10 different areas, I'm not going to tear up street and curb. Because if that's what happens, that's going to be a cost.
When does that happen? That kind of initial testing of the process?
That will occur next spring. We're putting all of the decorations and everything in the trees through this winter. And then next spring is when we will find out what
works. Okay, but even if that works, what are you going to do? Okay, you grind them out, and what are you going to do? If you grind them out or pull them out, or then we're going to sit while we figure out what we're going to do next?
No, we're going to be moving forward through that time, but the streetscape project isn't going to come. That's not going to come together in 2 months and 3 months. And so what we'll do is utilize planters.
6 months?
We'll utilize planters that we have available and things of that nature.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
To Doug's point, and to your point, we know we're not going to be able to pull a streetscape project together in 6 months or probably even a year. But when those trees start getting ripped up, Laura's phone's going to be ringing off the hook. My phone's going to be ringing off the hook. And I mean, it'd be nice to at least say, well, in 3 years, we're going to do this and this and this. We do have a plan. I don't want to have to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah, let me kind of approach those points from a different direction. What kind of a process should we be putting in place now to help us understand what kind of look and what kind of treatment we want to have in downtown Sylvania? I mean, how do we, in a methodical, you know, rational, community-involved way, how do we get to a point where we know what we want our downtown to look like? And is that a process that we hire consultants for? Is that a process we do ourselves? Is that a process that takes 6 months or 6 weeks or what?
I think we have some of that information available. I think the one thing, from my standpoint, the one thing that needs to be defined is what kind of funds are we willing to contribute to? Because we can improve the downtown area appearance for, you know, $200,000. But if that's not going to be what people want, if they want a complete redo, if you will, now you're talking millions. Now you're into the millions of dollars. And, you know, you have the River Trail project that's being considered, you have the SOMO project that's being considered, and now this downtown streetscape project is being considered. The funds start to whittle away pretty fast.
Starting to sound a lot like my father did when I was a teenager.
and that's my concern.
Yeah, my
Mark, I guess you delivered that speech yourself.
But, yeah.
From an administrative standpoint, what we're going to do with that downtown, I don't want to dig into a full-fledged rehaul obviously if we're not going to commit to it.
Right. I guess what I'm suggesting is, and again, I don't want to take any of the prerogative away from the staff, right, but I do think that probably this is a public matter from the standpoint, as Katie pointed out, that downtown merchants and downtown visitors have an opinion about this, right? We should probably get about, if you haven't already, get about the business of maybe getting some input. I was not aware about the fact that half the people didn't like the trees. And is it about visibility? Is that the deal?
Part of it's visibility. Part of it is
it's the wrong tree.
Ability to do things, wrong tree. And it truly is. There have been, we did, as part of the downtown study, there was a survey of the downtown businesses
mm-hmm.
on what you wanted. And it's truly about a 50-50 split.
Yeah, well,
on what
I guess I believe that if we don't plan for a desired outcome, it's going to cost us more money no matter how we do it, right? Because we'll do it piecemeal, and that's not desirable. So I don't know that I'm necessarily asking for an answer today, but is that something that you and the staff could think about in terms of coming back to council saying, this is how we'd like to approach this?
We were. It's been something that's been part of discussions for some time. This winter kind of just pushed it. It's, you know, it just, the trees just were damaged. Too many of them were damaged too bad that we're going to lose them. And right. Then obviously once they're dead, we've got to take them down. So.
Mayor?
Yeah.
I have a couple of opinions on this. Number one, if we're going to supposedly plant trees back in where the dead ones are so that we keep the trees to make the people who want the trees happy, I assume we're not going to plant the same kind of trees. So we're going to have, how about the term mishmash down there? I'm not sure I like that. I agree with Katie that the...
It's a redo.
All of the trees out.
We only put half of them back in.
Well, that's not a bad idea. The problem with trees in the small area that we have available to plant trees is the root system. Some tree root systems will go down if they're watered properly and not rise to the surface, but others will rise to the surface. And I think in the downtown area, there's I'm thinking of one particular grate. I think there's several of the grates that have been damaged by either the root system or something. So I think planting trees in that narrow place is maybe not the best idea. I guess I want to make sure whatever we plant, and I'm sure you'll do good research on that is a tree that will go down rather than surface rooting.
Yeah, we'll look at deep roots and we'll look at more spread than height.
More spread than height.
If you take a look at the trees that have got down there now, they go...
Right. But if you...
Limbs and everything are straight up.
See, I have a problem with that, too. I think when we look down Main Street, there is so much stuff going on that it is confusing. I know the lights are beautiful at Christmas time, but we've got so many other, the facades of the buildings are beautiful and you don't see those. Our lampposts that we've picked out are lovely. I guess I would rather,
yeah. Back two trees.
Yes, good, because I'm not, and I'm a tree lover, but I just...
We are Tree City USA.
I know, I know, but we could have little trees in pots and not growing down into the ground where they, you know, cause all the problems that they cause. So the roots, I think, is a major concern to me as far as planting trees. There's one other idea that I had while sitting and having a cup of coffee at Chandler's and watching people try and cross the street. We don't have a designated walk area across the street. There's the driveway that comes out of beside Chandler's. The street is kind of different there. In this process, I think it would be lovely to have a walkway for the pedestrians so they can get from businesses on one side of the street to the other. And if we need to have a stop sign in the middle of the street, so be it. So we slow traffic down on your main street. That's not a bad idea. It's more pedestrian-friendly. The shops show off. You go, oh, I didn't know that was there because you've been speeding by it all the time. So I would like us to look at that as another item that we might consider is a crosswalk mid-block with a stop sign.
Well, you know, any other specific questions about this?
Just a comment.
Yep.
Just one comment. It sounds to me like you have, we have a short-term issue and a long-term issue. We have a short-term issue that you've identified, and it sounds like, at least members of council have commented here this afternoon, is that there's some interest in potentially looking at some other things along with looking, talking to the business owners and such. But we also have a short-term issue, which is we have to cut the trees down, and we've got to make a decision on what we do between now and whenever that next decision gets made, right?
Correct.
Okay. So we have a 12-month time frame, and then we have a past 12-month time frame. Is that a fair, fair assessment?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I just add a couple things to your short-term list and your long-term list? Mm-hmm. So on the short-term list, there was a conversation about downtown Wi-Fi. That seems like, I don't know how much, what that costs, but that's like something we could do that doesn't involve ripping anything up. The corner of Maple, I've suggested this to you before, Maplewood and Main, where that leaf is, making that park, cafe seating and benches, that's a short term. All you have to do is take out some dirt. I mean, we talked about adding benches and seating. That could be an easy short term thing. Long term, we just have to make sure that both blocks have the same sidewalk and the same trees. Another long term thing is that most of the buildings don't have ADA access. They have a step.
Correct.
So if we're going to redo the sidewalks, maybe we can slope them up so that it's ADA accessible.
We would actually probably be required to do that.
When we redo the sidewalk, if we were to redo the sidewalks.
Well, because the pavers are all falling out anyway. It's dangerous, really. And then the last thing is the corner of Erie and Main Street, where we, that house burned down. And do we want to do something with that or not? Is that part of our, I mean, it could be benches, I don't know what it could be, but it seems like a good time to figure out if it is something.
Okay.
And those are, that's my comment.
Okay, so we have 3 or 4 minutes before the Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting. We have some folks here for that. I think what we have is a short-term problem and a long-term problem for sure. I think what we have, too, Sandy, is a difference of opinion, because I like nothing more than walking down Main Street in the summer when the trees are out. I think it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, more beautiful than the Christmas lights, okay? So you and I can have a healthy discussion about that over coffee at Chandler's, you know? And Katie's given us a laundry list of all sorts of things that are probably very appropriate to consider. So I guess the question is, moving forward in a planful way, and I guess this is in part directed at the mayor as well, would the administration be willing to come back to council at some point, not with a solution to the problem, but with a suggestion about how we might proceed in a planful way that takes into consideration some of the input that you may have already gotten from merchants, maybe more if we need it, what the state of the art is, do we need to have outside help with this, consulting help? Any of those things, but if you could package it up in a way that council could think about it, I think that would be very, very helpful.
I think of our land use plan process, because there are a number of constituencies that we have that have an interest here. And I know, before we do anything, we're obviously going to involve all of them and maybe some sort of plan for how we start, how we process, what we and how we move forward would be mm-hmm. very helpful.
Yeah, and I want to be mindful of the fact that I think you all and the staff have a lot on your plate. It's budget time, right? A lot going on. But what's a reasonable time frame to expect that you might be able to come back and share with us some thoughts about a process to kind of tackle all of these different things?
Coming back to you with a process, is something. I mean, that's something that we can do within the, within two to four weeks, before we're done with the process.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that we struggled with, and it's a fault, if you won't mind. As you know, we've done a lot of the projects that we've done in the last 2 years, we've done in-house. A full-scale downtown streetscape project, we just don't have the time or the ability to do that large of a project.
So there's a potential price tag attached to that?
There's a price tag attached to that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to release stuff out to consultants. We've done a good job on doing things in-house, and it's hard for me to start releasing that out. But, but the decisions on what we want that to be, in my mind, have to be made before we even consider
right.
those things.
Let me help out a little bit. There are some upfront decisions we have to make.
Absolutely.
The council needs information to make those decisions. One of them is, are we going to be able to grind the trees out without damaging the sidewalks or not? That'll affect one of the options that's available. And that'll affect the next one you just brought, whether or not we need to go to outside consultants or not. A little while ago, I said, well, we could just plant back in every other tree with the right kind of tree. If that's an economical solution, that might be all the farther we go. So what I think we need to do is come up with a flow chart that shows those decision points and bring that back to council.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea, Mayor.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And it's not going to happen. And we could bring back the flow chart, but we're not going to know about whether we grind those trees out probably until
right.
the spring.
And I don't know if that comes back to a committee. You know, is that the place for it? Is it a full
you
council meeting?
Back to council, and then you can refer it.
Yeah.
To
all right. And you said 2 to 4 weeks. I would be delighted if, you know, by the first meeting in December, even we have this. I mean, I don't want to miss an opportunity if we do need a consultant to slip it into the budget, you know, for the new year. So, and I say that only half facetiously, but you know, it'd be nice to have at least a hearing about the what do you say, the flow chart by maybe December. Is that doable?
I think it is. We're just going to speculate which routes we can go and bring that back to you. Those trees that are there have been there for a very long time. Those improvements to the downtown streetscape, and those trees were put in the early 80s, I believe, there before I was on city council. And they were controversial at the time. The previous mayor wanted those left there for a long time, and they've probably been there left too long,
mm-hmm.
and the roots have driven too deep. We spent a lot of effort trimming those trees and keeping them from being overpowering
right.
over the years. So that may cost us in whether we can get them out of there or not,
yeah.
but we are now forced with moving ahead. If we yeah. have, I know there's 3 trees on the south end on the east side that were leafless through the second part of the summer. I don't know about, I haven't inventoried the rest of them. Kevin says half. We'll find out in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But we can certainly come back to you with a flow chart or a decision chart that we're going to go through as the information brings.
Okay. Would the subcommittee be comfortable with that approach and that timing?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So we'll look to hear back from you all at the first meeting in December. Okay, great. The only other thing that was on the agenda, and we're running out of time, is a 30-second update on what some members of council might be aware of. I was not until recently, and that's the notion of a downtown entertainment district. I don't want to drill too deep into that, Bill, but could you just give us a quick update?
No, I'd be glad to, Mark. With the chamber has taken the lead in forming a committee to review the establishment of an entertainment district for our downtown. We had a two representatives actually from the liquor control department come in and explain how that all works. So we're going to continue to have that discussion. Found out that how many permits you can have is dependent upon the size of the district. And that's, so we're looking at different options of what areas to include in that district. And that would just allow us to have more liquor permits in our downtown SoMo, you know, that area. Downtown Toledo, there's a couple different entertainment districts around the stadium and the Huntington Arena. Downtown Columbus, around their ballpark, same thing. So it's in those type of communities that they're around the state.
So at this point, it's a chamber initiative, and the city's not directly involved, is that right?
We're involved. We're part of the committee, and we're sitting at the table and discussing it, but it's been a chamber-led effort.
Okay, well, and obviously, this is a, ultimately, a council issue that, whatever the chamber comes up with, we're going to have our thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, it has to be approved.
Right.
But this is more information gathering to make sure what's appropriate and what we're able to do and not do.
I know, I've heard, I remember hearing Jim Moan talk about entertainment districts on a number of occasions, and, so I think, how do I put this gently? I would want to know what's going on with that earlier, so people aren't surprised later.
Yeah, but putting it a different way, I think this is part of the reason I wanted to get on the agenda today. We don't want the chamber process to get too far out in front of council, who's ultimately going to have to vote on it.
Right, and who, you know, happy to, you know, want to work with that group, but this is part of our responsibility to our neighbors. This is why we sit in these chairs. And so I'm very interested in the chamber's input, but we have a responsibility to our neighbors that this be done properly and right.
Right.
Yeah. After our next meeting, I can give an update to city council.
That'd be great.
Prepare a report.
That'd be helpful. Everybody. Okay. Anything else today for the subcommittee? If not, we're adjourned at 5:05.